You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, Christmas is a celebration. It is a happy time, a joyous time, but it isn't always such a happy time or a joyous time for some, is it? It can also be a very painful time. It can be a lonely time. It can be a fearful time. It can be a dark time. But we can have hope, though, knowing that we have a Savior, one who has delivered us from that hopelessness, from darkness. We have a light. He is the light that shines in the darkness of the world. You know, as you turn on the television news, look around, it doesn't take long for us to see how dark this world truly is it? But you know, the darkness isn't just out there somewhere. It's also here in our own community. There is darkness here in Wonder Lake as well. We see it in the sins of people, in anger and hatred and immorality and crime and disease and addictions and death from that. You know, just this morning, we lost another one of our fellow residents of this community to that terrible scourge of addiction, because there is great darkness here in Wonder Lake and in the rest of the world. And we are people who need hope, the hope of deliverance. As many of you know, hope, when the scripture speaks of hope, it's not just a vague wish or a desire that may or may not come true. It is a sure and certain promise of things to come. But when a promise is made, that promise is only as good as the character and the power of the person who makes it, isn't it? And so biblical hope, then, we can have confidence and trust in biblical hope because they are the good promises of God, backed up by the holy and just and loving character of God and the almighty power of God. And so these are not just vague wishes. This hope is fact. We just don't experience it yet. And so that hope, that light that shines in the darkness for you and for me, that hope is eternal life and its blessing forever in the presence of God. And that hope is God's promise that one day soon He will resurrect our frail and mortal bodies, and He will transform them into glorious resurrected bodies that will never get sick or die. And that hope is that God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth that will be forever set free from the presence of the consequences of sin, our rebellion against God. There will be no more death, no more disease, no more sorrow, no more pain. And all of us can share in that hope through faith in Christ, our Savior, the light that shines in the darkness, the one who has overcome. So tonight, then, we want to give our worship to Him, to give our worship to Him, to the one who is eternally worthy of our praise and devotion. When we worship, we are declaring the worthiness of that object of our worship. And He is eternally worthy. He's eternally worthy of our praise, our devotion, our lives, our very all. So let's give our worship to the one who has overcome fear, the one who has overcome darkness. You know, the men and the women of the Bible, they were not exempt from fear. They were not exempt from fear of the darkness of the world in which they lived. In just a moment here, I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, where there we see the account there of the birth of Jesus Christ, and see this from the perspective here of Joseph. And I wonder how you might feel if you had been in Joseph's position. Just imagine that for a minute here. Matthew tells us, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, Joseph feared. He feared to take Mary as his wife. Why? Because he knew that in taking her as his wife, that he too then would be subject to the public shame, that would come upon him as well as her, this public shame. I mean, really, here's a woman who says she's a virgin, but she's pregnant? What would you think if you were Joseph? I think we all would have struggled with that, wouldn't we? But as he considered putting her away, divorcing her, there was an angel then that appeared to him and told him not to fear, that he did not be afraid of the consequences of what might come, that her baby was indeed conceived by the Holy Spirit. She had not been unfaithful to him. And when that baby was born, Joseph was to call his name Jesus, because you see, Jesus means the Lord is salvation. It's a wonderful name for our Savior, don't you think? The Lord is Savior. The Lord is salvation, Jesus. For he would indeed save people from their sins. And all of this then, it took place, and it fulfilled this prophecy from some 700 years earlier, in which Isaiah was told that the virgin would conceive and bear a son, and they would call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the Lord is salvation, Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. He is literally, in every way, God with us, isn't he? So I wonder then if you might have struggled or wrestled as Joseph did at first when he was first given this news, wrestled with fear. But when the angel spoke to him, he responded with faith and obedience, and he took Mary as his wife. But do you think even then he might have wrestled at times with fear? Do you think he might have been a little intimidated when told that he, a carpenter from Nazareth, would have the responsibility of raising the Messiah, the Son of God? No pressure there, right? But he was obedient. And then Matthew tells us, and it would have been about 2 years later this occurred. It says, Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So here in Jerusalem come this procession of kingmakers, these wise men, these magi. They probably knew about this prophecy of this birth of a king who would be a great and mighty king. They probably knew about that from some hundreds of years earlier through Daniel, when the Jews were in exile in their land. And so they learned about this, and so they were watching for this birth of this king of the Jews. But you know, they say Jesus is the king of the Jews, but he didn't just come to be their king, he came to be the king of all people. He's the savior of all people. So when Herod heard that these wise men were looking for this new king of the Jews, he was troubled by those news because he was threatened by that. And in fact, all of Jerusalem was troubled and fearful. They were afraid. Why? Because they knew of Herod's reputation, that he was a king who was infamously jealous and paranoid and wouldn't tolerate any threat or challenge to his rule. So the people of Jerusalem knew what any perceived threat to his rule meant. So they were fearful. Herod asked where the Christ is to be born. Isn't it something that Herod, he's the so-called king of the Jews, and he does not know what any Jewish child could have told you about where the king of the Jews was to be born, the Messiah? They knew it was in Bethlehem, as Micah the prophet had said. And then he asked, well, what time did the star appear? And he told them, go and find him so that I might come and worship him too. But of course, he had no intention of going to worship him. He wanted to eliminate this threat to his rule. So the wise men went off and they arrived then finally at the house in Bethlehem where they were staying. And they brought gifts for a king. We all know famously what? The gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it has been suggested that there is some symbolic significance in that. It was gold, a gift for a king, because Jesus is a king. He is a ruler, not just a temporary ruler, but a ruler of all people for all time. Of all the universe, he is the king. Frankincense for a priest. Frankincense was used in the temple. And he was a priest. And Jesus, the Messiah, is a priest, a go-between sinful human beings and a holy God. He is a priest. But then also myrrh. Myrrh was used as an ointment for the body. When a person died and was buried, myrrh would be put on the body. And that myrrh symbolically represented then too his death, his sacrifice for us. So the wise men came to worship this king. And they expressed that worship then in these gifts that they brought. The wise men brought gifts for Jesus, who himself is the best gift, the greatest gift ever given. Jesus, when we worship him now, we think of that baby in the manger, but he was much more than the baby in the manger, wasn't he? Some of the biblical descriptions of Jesus are this, that he is the great I am, that he is the eternal sovereign Lord of the universe, the one who always was and is and will be the eternal one, the great I am. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the creator. He is the beginning of all things. He is the purpose for all things. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There is no ruler in this world, as mighty as their kingdom may appear to be for a time. Jesus is that king over and above them, infinitely over and above them. He is the Word, the very expression of God, the revelation of God to us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And he is the image of the invisible God, that if we want to know what God is like, then we look at God the Son, Jesus. He is revealed, God the Father, to us. He is the Son of Man. That means that he is like us, that he can identify with us in every way, that he too was subject to temptation, but he never sinned. All of us have sinned, but Jesus perfectly obeyed and never sinned. But he is like us. In fact, the Son of Man was his favorite designation for himself that shows his humility and his identification with us. He is the Messiah, or the Christ, that means the anointed one, the Savior, the Deliverer. He is the Lamb of God, the sacrifice. He is the bread of life. Just as our bodies need physical food, our souls need spiritual food, and he is that spiritual food, the bread of eternal life. He is the light of the world that shines in the darkness. He is the resurrection and the life. He is our hope. Then when one dies, when their hope is in Christ, then they will be raised in glory and power in following Jesus' own resurrection. He is the way and the truth and the life, the way to God. He is truth. He is eternal life. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the good shepherd, the Prince of Peace, the high priest, and the head of the church. Not bad for a little baby in a manger, is it? He is all of those and much more. That is the gift of Jesus. That is the one that we worship here tonight. And we give thanks to him because he comes bearing gifts. You know, we had a tradition in our home. How many of you are folks that you open your gifts on Christmas Eve? Do you have some that you gather as a family? And you'd open up all your gifts on Christmas Eve. Not too many. I usually see a few hands. There are none here tonight. How about Christmas morning? Everybody, it's Christmas morning, Christmas Day. That's when you do that, right? Well, then you had some like a hybrid. I remember like in our home, Judy, remember we did a little that where we could get one gift, right? You could open one gift on Christmas Eve. And then all the rest of them the next day on Christmas morning there. And so probably the one, I don't know about me, it was always the one I was the most curious about, right? You always pick that one under the tree and you find the one, what was that one, right? And that was usually the one that got opened on Christmas Eve, right? Well, here tonight, we're going to open one gift tonight. But when we open this one, there's no need to open any others tomorrow morning because he is the one gift we need. He is all that we need. He is the great gift of God's love. He is our hope. He is our eternal life. He brings us forgiveness for our sins. He brings us peace with God. He brings us acceptance. He brings holiness. He brings eternal life. He has adopted us to be his children. He brings us every spiritual blessing, access to the throne of grace, sovereign wisdom and his good purpose, the knowledge of that in our lives, hope, the hope of the resurrected body, of the new earth and of eternal reward. These are the gifts that Jesus gives to us. But just as the wise men worshiped him and gave gifts to him, they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so we don't offer gold and frankincense and myrrh tonight, but we can offer him gifts as we worship him. What are the gifts that we can bring? What can you and I bring as gifts to Jesus, the eternal King? Well, we can bring him the gift, all that we have, which is what? Ourselves, our hearts, our lives. To bring him our hearts, our worship, our devotion, our thanks, our praise, and our service, to serve him, to reach out in love in his name to others. That is our gift that we bring to him, the gift of ourselves, which is our spiritual service of worship. And we can give ourselves to him because he first gave himself for us. In just a moment, we're going to celebrate that sacrifice that Jesus made for us. As you know, that baby in the manger, he grew up. He lived a life of perfect obedience to his Father's law. He lived that perfect life that you and I never can do. He did that for us. And then he went to the cross and he willingly took on himself the judgment or the punishment for our sin, our moral transgressions, so that we would not face judgment, the judgment of God for that. He faced that judgment for us. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And the scriptures tell us that he is coming again in great glory and power. And when we put our trust, our faith in him, God gives us that gift of his own holiness and righteousness, forgives us our sin, gives us life, gives us hope, eternal hope. And his death on the cross and his resurrection is the way that we receive those blessings then, through faith in him, faith in his death and resurrection. So if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to invite you then to partake then tonight of the communion elements in remembrance and celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Usually we receive them there where you're seated, but tonight I'm going to ask you to come forward. We kind of have a little tradition here that started up a little while ago. Some of you know this story. Well, most of you know this story, I think. But if you don't, I want to tell it to you tonight. I don't want to spoil the ending here. You know, I'd say spoiler alert, but not to worry. I'm not going to tell you. You're going to find it out for yourself. When you come up here, I'd like you to come up on tonight here on the right. So we usually have the Christmas tree over there. Had to change things up a little bit this year. So now we're going to come up over on this side. And when you come up, would you come to the table? Would you pause for a moment there at the foot of the cross? Give thanks for the birth of the Messiah, but then give thanks for his death and his resurrection, his sacrifice for us. Pick up the bread and the cup there. And then as you are walking past, would you pause for just a moment here? And I'd like you to take a look at these gold ornaments here on the tree, and you're going to notice something special about that. I first noticed this. When did we get that tree? About 5 years ago or so, I think it was. The first time we put it up, I thought, wow. Because what you're going to see, if you haven't seen this before, when you stop here and you look in one of these ornaments, you're going to see the true meaning of Christmas. Because all this talk about true meaning of Christmas, and people will say things like, well, it's just not about giving gifts or parties and all that. And that's true. They'll say, well, it's about love and family and togetherness. And, well, those are good things, but that really isn't the true meaning of Christmas either, is it? Well, what is it, you might wonder? Well, the answer is right here when you walk by tonight. You were walking by, did you see the true meaning of Christmas in that gold ornament there? That reflection of the cross there? That's really what Christmas is all about, isn't it? But you know what I found interesting as I heard someone say as they were walking by, they saw that and they said, oh, look, there's me. She saw her reflection in there too. And I thought, you know what? That's also the true meaning of Christmas, isn't it? Not me, 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 but what? That the sacrifice of Jesus, represented by that reflection there, was for her. It's for you. It's for all who believe. Jesus is worthy. He is worthy of our worship, of our faith, of our devotion. This world is indeed a dark place. There's darkness here in Wonder Lake. But Jesus Christ is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, because he is the greatest light that ever shone. John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, Jesus, he was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And later, Jesus in the Gospel of John says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And sometime later then too, he said, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. And while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Finally, he said, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.